to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In this chapter, Paul begins his letter to the Romans by declaring his identity as he sees himself. He first says, I, Paul, a servant of God. That's how Paul considered himself. But then he next declares his identity as declared to him by God when he said, I am called to be an apostle, which is one sent by God. Then he speaks of his ministry, which he describes as being separated unto the gospel of God. Now, I want to focus your attention as much as I can, and by the help of the Lord, we can segue seamlessly into Pastor's vision casting. I want you to understand, if you will, the word separated here declares that Paul has been called away from who and what he used to be to the gospel of the good news of God. I would argue that one of the watershed moments in my own ministry, as one who is fourth generation apostolic, I pastor a church that my grandparents started attending in 1932 when the church was only 1 year old. We're in our 92nd year there in southeast Missouri. But I would argue to you that one of our downfalls, or one of the kinks in our armor, so to speak, is that we felt like that once we got to a certain place, we had arrived. Anybody familiar with that concept, especially in the traditional sense? And I, at the risk of being offensive, I would tell you that as I begin to read the Bible, Brother Holdem, I found out that that lined up more with the Pharisees than it did with Jesus. That idea of protecting what we had. I would submit to you today that this gospel has never been one that we needed to protect. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church that's built on the rock. And the rock is, we know who Jesus is. That's the rock the church is built upon, and hell's not going to win. But I would, if I could today, to this precious group of elders and more mature saints, I would endeavor to awake you from the false sense of security that you have something to protect. I read this recently, or I heard it said to me recently, revival is spelt R-I-S-K. How long has it been? I'm not talking to the ministers. I'm not talking to the Sunday school teachers. I'm talking to the everyday men and women of God. How long has it been since you took a risk for Jesus? I would like for you to ask yourself that question today. Please note that when you pray, you are not, whatever your motivation, you are not just praying to come out of some situation or problem or sin or failure. If God answers your prayer and heals us, delivers us, or brings us peace, you can rest assured he did it with a greater purpose in mind than just bringing you out of your mess. The Lord is not just concerned with being a temporary God for us, but he wants everything he does in our life to be a part of the big picture, which is to fulfill his plan. Paul was a murderer. A murderer. He was, at the very least, complicit. I feel like he probably gave the orders. Or in effect, as they threw stones at Stephen, I feel like Pastor Damesworth, that they may have turned around to look and make sure Paul was watching because they desired his approval. It was a sign of respect that as they began to get worked up, they took their coats off and laid them at the feet of Saul, or Paul as we call him. He was a murderer. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready for Paul to come to CLC? The Lord was so upset and put off by the fact that Paul was a murderer. Paul devoted his entire life to bringing the church down. It upset the Lord so much that he decided to pay him a personal visit. in an undeniable manner and speak clear directions to him from heaven that in essence said, I have noticed how hard you work against me. And I showed up today to let you know I want you to start working for me in the same sense. So I ask you again, are you ready for Paul to come to CLC? He came to tell Paul what he needed to do to come into alignment for fulfilling the will of God. It was what Paul always wanted. He thought he was working for God. It was what he always wanted, but Paul was trying to protect the status quo. And Jesus Christ came letting weirdos, winos, and sinners eat with them, hung out with them, was blessed with them, healed them, delivered them, and sometimes Jesus blessed them and they never even asked him to. I would argue, Brother Blevins, that there are men and women on the streets of this city and the two cities and the other cities surrounding here that the Lord has been working on them way longer than you know about. Please hear me when I tell you, if they show up here to the house of God, they didn't show up because you invited them. They showed up because God has already got a hold of their heart and he's bringing them here. And to echo what we said the other night, he's bringing them here because you need them to be here. Am I getting too excited for Sunday school? There ain't much difference in my teaching and my preaching, except one of them's in second gear and the other one's in overdrive. Paul always wanted to be pleasing to God. He thought that he, as he snuffed out Christians, he was doing the work of God. But there was still so much that Paul did not know. Now, he knew the Bible, right? You know who Paul was? He was a Pharisee. History tells us, the Bible doesn't, but history tells us that there's a very good possibility that Paul was a member of the Sanhedrin. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel, which was a coveted place. He knew the Bible backwards and forwards, but there was a whole lot about God he didn't know. Is there anybody in the house that would be honest enough to say that in your prayer and in your study and as you begin to pursue the Lord and as you hear your pastor preach and this team preach, that there's an inkling way back in the back of your mind that says, you know what? Maybe there's a lot I still don't know. Maybe God has something for us that he didn't. Maybe God has something for CLC he forgot to run by me. Maybe there's some things God has for this assembly that he forgot to clear it through me first. I'll tell you what, I wish we would. If you've ever felt like there's something more, if you sometimes can't sleep at night, if you come to church and you're uneasy and you are uncomfortable, I wish that you'd just praise God for that. Can you do that right now? Can you praise God because he has begun to bring some unrest, some troubling of the waters, as it were, into your life? We love you, Jesus. We thank you that you won't let us be at ease in Zion. We thank you that you're calling us, that you're pulling us, that you're provoking us, that you're promoting us to a new way of thinking. As Paul testified of his conversion to King Agrippa, he says very clearly, whereupon, O Agrippa, I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. The gospel of God, Paul says in the book of Romans, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was destined to be of the lineage of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power. Boy, that's a oneness message, isn't it? According to the power of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And then Paul offers, we say something, I'm going to say it right now. We say something at the River Bend all the time now. You can't make this stuff up. What God is doing, you can't make it up. What God is saying, you can't make it up. Listen, Paul then offers the identifying factor of evangelism. Everybody say evangelism. And revival. You know what the identifying factor of evangelism and revival is? Unity. Unity. But I have to let you know, and it's not unique with me. Matter of fact, I heard Brother Wayne Huntley say it first, and I've heard it again. Evangelism and revival are not the same thing either. We think we want to go have revival by bringing in people off the street that need the Lord. That ain't even by definition what revival is. Revival is bringing something back to life that was dead. Again. Evangelism is when you go out into the highways and the byways and you reach out to people that don't know. But revival is people who were once alive but now are dying or dead through complacency, through being rooted and grounded in tradition. Because I'm telling you right now, please forgive me, Pastor, but I'm telling you right now, if you continue to fight for the way things once were, you're going to find that you're out there in the middle of the jungle swinging a sword and you don't even have an enemy to fight against. The devil don't care how much you fight for the way things once were. The devil will let you 6 days a week and twice on Sunday. He'll let you run the aisles. He'll let you shout. He'll let you jump up and down as long as you're not going out there and doing the work of the Lord. Don't you? Is this okay? Don't you judge your spiritual standing by how much you shout and dance at church, or for that matter, how much you talk in tongues. The devil ain't worried about nobody that just comes to church and acts Pentecostal. But there's a little old lady somewhere in this room. There's a little old man in this room that hell's afraid of you. Because you've got some corn in your crib. It may have been stored there for a little while, but you came up in a time when you had to go out into the world and get your hands dirty to bring people to Jesus. We need you, elder. We need you, elder. I feel a witness of the Spirit in this room right now. We need you because you've got experience that we don't have. That's why the Bible says the beauty of the old man is the gray head. That means you've been through some wars and you've been through some struggles. I'm talking about, I'll be 50 this year, but my generation and those coming behind me, we need your experience. Because we are drinking from wells we didn't dig, and we are eating from vineyards that we didn't plant, and we are living in houses we didn't build. Can we thank God for our elders? Let's do it right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the gray head. Thank you for experience. Thank you for what you've gifted us with by those that are coming from the past. Don't you think for one second that I came today to crucify the past. I didn't. But the past wasn't a place to live. The past was a launching pad. Wasn't a residence, it was a place to launch us into the stratosphere of revival and evangelism, but it's only going to happen when we come together. Elder, I feel led of the Holy Ghost to say this. Oh, Lord. Let me tell you what you can do for us. I know it's not your favorite, and I know that you still love it. You get goosebumps up and down your spine when they hit a note on the piano and it says, as I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary. I know you love to sing unto the Lord in the Pentecostal praises, but we ain't there no more. You can still sing them, you can still listen to them, but would you, for revival and evangelism, turn K-Love on a day or two a week? Oh, my goodness. Say, I don't really like that music. I ain't asking you to like the music. I'm asking you to come together. Because there ain't nothing wrong with that music except it's set to a different time. But I'm telling you right now, when our praise team, I came up on Southern Gospel. I came up on country gospel. I even like bluegrass. But when our praise team gets up there and sings, I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. When they get up there and sing that one song, my praise will cause the sun to rise. Boy, it does something to me down inside, because that ain't new, baby. That's old from way back there in the beginning when the psalmist said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Now they're singing my song. I didn't lose you, did I? That's the kind of effort that it's going to take to become unified for evangelism and revival. Because I want revival and I want evangelism more than I want my way. I come to teach to you this morning, evangelism and revival are here. We just as well be ready. Say, well, the Pentecostal way is that when the Lord wants me to move, he gets me ready. That ain't in the book nowhere. Matter of fact, he told the children of Israel when they got ready to come up out of Jerusalem, he said, eat the Last Supper with your loins girded about. You know what that means? Be ready. And in the book of 1 Peter, I believe it is, chapter number 1, he says, now you gird up the loins of your minds. And because that means we have got to get ourselves ready. Yes, it's your responsibility to be ready for revival and evangelism. It's your responsibility to be unified. There's not going to be a church service. There's not going to be an evangelist. There's not going to be a preacher, not even your beloved pastor, that's going to preach a message that's going to cause you to be unified. It's not coming. Unified is a decision you're going to have to make that says, I am with the program. Even if I don't understand the program, even if I can't see the program, even if I ain't feeling the program, I'm with the program. Because I'm in it to win it. He said the message... Ooh-wee, I got a lot of time. He said, the message that I'm called to preach. So he says, when Paul said, I'm called to preach the gospel. When you say preach the gospel, he is referring to those who don't know the Lord yet, who don't know that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those that he's going to preach to are those who haven't heard it before. Therefore, they are the future. Right? He said, this gospel, my calling and my ministry is done in accord with the will of God, as well as being in accord with the prophets and the prophecies of the Holy Scriptures, which have been handed down to us. So the gospel we're going to preach is to the future. The will we are doing in accord is God, which came from our past, our present, and we're in alignment with the prophets and the prophecies, which is our past. So it means the unity that Paul is speaking of is not just getting along with those you go to church with right now, but it is being in alignment with your past, with your present, and your future. That's what we got to be ready for. Amen? When we're in alignment with God, we are also in alignment with our heritage, with our peers, and our posterity, unified with our past, present, and our future. Why do we know that's important? Well, in the book of Revelation, John said, I turned around and behold, there was one that sat on the throne. And what did he say? I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Are you ready? Which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. So I come to minister to us today and remind us that when you're in alignment with God, you will be in alignment with your past, with your present, and your future. Are you ready? Paul said in verse number 8, anywhere I go in the world, they talk about the faith of the Roman church. He said in verse 9, and God is my witness. I make mention of you always in my prayers. He said, I pray for you all the time. He said in verse 10, the prayer that I'm praying is that if there is any way, I would like for it to be the will of God for me to come to Rome and see you. He said, my desired purpose is, this is a new thing too. It's really an old thing, but it's a new thing in our mind. He said, my desired purpose for ministering to you is that I might have a part in your growth. He said, I want to be a part of your growing. I want to be a part of you going forward together. Now, this ain't new, brother. I've preached this before. I didn't just get this because that's your theme. I got it because this morning the Lord said that's what they need to hear, is they got to get ready to go forward together. He said, I want to be a part of your growth as I have been among many other Gentile believers. Because the truth of the matter is, Paul wants to be a part of everything that God is doing. Everything God is doing when you're unified. And then he says, now this is a novel concept too. I'm just going to share with you something that I feel like the Lord has led me to. I saw several churches in our area lose their pastors. Now, nothing's going to happen to your pastor. I'm not prophesying that. Y'all may not need him, but I do. But I saw churches lose their pastor and lose everything they had. Because they were pastor-centric churches. I have preached to our people, and I'm not super educated. I got out of high school, but it was in no small part due to No Child Left Behind. And my fourth algebra teacher felt sorry for me. True story. I'm not very educated. But I feel like we have got to become a church that is purpose-centric rather than pastor-centric. And I tell our people, I want to lead you to a place that if I pass away on Monday, by the weekend, you're back having church just like always. Because the purpose is so rich in us. Listen to what Paul says. He said, I changed this into the GL version. That's me. He says, I want to come be a part of your growth. And then in verse number 12, he says, well, the truth is, I'm not just coming to Rome because I got something to give you. He said, I want to come to Rome because I feel like you got something to give me. There's a reason why the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so doth the man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. It's because we need each other. Unity is not something we just preach so we get more people in the house. It's because we need each other to make it to heaven. We need each other to overcome. You're bringing some experiences, you're bringing some victories, and you're bringing some defeat that brought lessons to your life that we need. Let me tell you, I ain't never probably stayed on the platform this long preaching. So I'm a little nervous. But we need this attitude of readiness that I'm talking about. One of the byproducts of it is the people in the pew feel as just as much a responsibility to be in the house of God as the preacher in the pulpit. And it's not because you want to make anybody happy. It's not because you don't want to get in trouble and you don't want to have your name on the absentee list too many times. It's because you know the body needs you and you need the body. That's why you're there. It's because you need to be and they need you there. Because we help each other. Paul said it in Romans chapter 1 and 12. He said, the truth of the matter is I need to come to Rome because y'all got some things I need too. That's a new thing. That's a Jesus concept. Okay, that's it. Say, well, Jesus didn't need anything from anybody. I beg your pardon. He was eating supper at Simon the leper's house. Huh? And the town tramp showed up. Anybody remember that story? And she came bringing an alabaster box. Everybody knew she was a hoochie mama. Everybody knew she was a trashy woman. But he wasn't getting what he needed from the church. Brother Johnson, he said, you didn't give me a kiss. You didn't wash my feet. You just brought me here to make a spectacle out of me. You just treated me like one. He said, but this gal, she ain't stopped weeping and crying. She ain't stopped kissing my feet. Does that make us nervous? I didn't do that. Jesus did. Well, now I'm wondering what's going on. I keep forgetting. Brother Griever told me not to hold the bottom of the mic, and I've done it like 15 times. Excuse my rebellion. I think I need to homestead here for just a second. Baby, you ain't righteous. You ain't holy. Let me tell you why we need new worshipers. Because they still smell like hell a little bit. They still remember what it... They still remember what it was like to go to sleep at night and know if the Lord came, they were going to hell on the express train. And such were some of you. We cannot forget that somebody was ready to come reach us. You're not here because your mama was here. You're not here because your grandma was here. You're not here because you're entitled. You're here because somebody was ready and they heard the call of God and they went to be a part of what God was doing. You're not here because you're special. You're not here because you're pretty. You're not here because you're old sweetie pie. You're not here because you're white. You're not here because you got money. You're here because Jesus needed you. You needed him. The body needs you, and you need the body. And God have mercy on us if he has to bring some people in here that stink, some people in here that are half naked, some people in here that smell like dope and smell like they ain't washed and they don't have a tooth in their head to give him what we're not giving him. Are you ready? Now, as our text says, beginning with verse 13, Paul says there's some things you need to know. I kept making plans to come and see you, but something always hindered me from coming. But I want you to look. Oh, my goodness. I want you to look how he describes his attitude regarding his purpose. He uses old antiquated language. He probably didn't use it as King James. But he says, I am debtor. See, what motivated Paul is he assumed that he owed a debt to everybody he met. He owed it to them to share the gospel with them. Look at verse 15 now. I'm going to bring it home. If I get done before 10:45, Brother Evans, you've been to our church. Brother Damesworth, you've been to our church. Sister Damesworth, you've been to our church. Don't y'all tell nobody I go to church with that I got done before 10:45. Honey, submit yourself to your husband at least this time. I just fattening y'all up for the kill. I probably ain't getting done early. I got a reputation to keep up. Verse 15. So, recognizing Paul is that as far as he is concerned, he owes it to the people of Rome to come there. I remember Brother Kenny Godare said when he got to Burlington, North Carolina, he said the first stop he made when he rode into town was the cemetery. And as he rode by every headstone in the cemetery, he asked them to forgive him because he didn't get there in time to preach the gospel to them. We have to get that serious about this. Favor of God is on this church. You know that, don't you? Favor of God is on this church. And God has big plans for CLC of the Tri-Cities. But there's going to have to be an attitude adjustment in order for us to be as ready as he is. And more than that, as ready as they are to be what he needs us to be here. So he says, so, recognizing that as far as he's concerned, he owes it to the people of Rome to come there, he says, as much as in me is. So what does that mean exactly? He's not even been to Rome yet. You understand that? This is Paul talking about wanting to come to Rome, Brother Bellamy. He's not been there yet. But he's got a dream. He's got a vision. Pastor, you've done incredible work at this church. Incredible. I'm so Holy Ghost proud of you, I'm jealous. With a godly jealousy. He preached for us a couple weeks ago, and my people are ready to kick me out and vote him in. One of our ladies, dear ladies, she said, now you're a good preacher, but he can preach. Oh, they're not getting him. She ain't all there anyhow. But I feel right this moment, there needs to be an awareness sweep into this place that says, you know what? When Pastor turns that vision loose today, I'm going to be ready. You can't, if you wait till he brings it to get ready, you're already a day late and a dollar short. We are not a reactive church, but we're a proactive church. Remember Cornelius? Huh? He was praying. He prayed down an angel. At the same time, Peter was on a rooftop over at Joppa praying. The Lord is proactive. He was getting things ready so that as soon as Cornelius' people knocked on the door, Peter was ready to hear what they got to hear. But you know why he had to get Peter ready? Because Peter didn't like anybody but Jews. He was a bigot. He was prejudiced. He still had, oh man, He still had some sin he was struggling with. Even though he had had the Holy Ghost for several years at this point, he still had some thinking that had to be changed in his life. Peter had to be ready, or when Cornelius' group showed up, Peter would have told him, I don't go nowhere with the likes of y'all. So as much as in me is, what does that mean? It means this: as far as the opportunity presents itself, and with my abilities and to the best of my abilities, I have aligned myself with the will and power of God so that when I get to Rome, I'm ready. As much as I can, I've got myself ready. I feel the witness of the Holy Ghost in this room. It's not an accident that I came here at 10 o'clock today. It's not an accident. He said, I am ready. You know what that word ready means? Literally, you know what it means? It means predisposed, not weighed down with pre-existing objections or resistance. It literally means passion before. Passion before. I've already warred and struggled and overcame my weaknesses, my inhibitions, my past, and the objections from unregenerate flesh and accusing spirits. And as a result, whatever has been hindering me has already been dealt with. I have prepared my ears to hear the vision from the man of God. I have crucified my objections. I have crucified my concerns. I have crucified my criticism. I have crucified my judgmental attitude. I have crucified my prejudices. Everything that might hinder me from preaching in Rome, I already dealt with. The only thing I'm waiting on is heaven's activation. But I would submit to you, as we come to a close, heaven's activation has been waiting on you to get ready. He is not an irresponsible God. He is not going to loose and unleash revival and evangelism into the Tri-City area until the people that he put here for that purpose have made themselves ready. Just the same way, the trumpet ain't going to sound until the bride has made herself ready. You do know that what you experience in the power of the Holy Ghost is a down payment on heaven's blessings. You know that? It's the earnest money for your inheritance. It's a little bit of heaven that you got down here. I would submit to you that in the Lord's Prayer, you remember what he said? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth, as it is in heaven. This is not just one way of doing things. This is not just an ideal way of doing things. This is not just the Damesworth way of doing things. This is heaven's way of doing things. And the Lord brought me to this place today to tell you and to tell everybody that might hear this, get yourself ready, baby, because we're fixing to unloose and unleash everything your mama prayed for, your grandma and grandpa prayed for, everything all the men and women that shed their blood, sweat, and tears for this prayed for. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. I'm going to preach something. I understand that most of my congregation or most of my audience here is people that are filled with the Holy Ghost. And at the risk of being offensive, I'm going to give you the first step to making yourself ready. Are you ready for it? I say this at our church. Y'all ready for this? Anybody like the Chicago Bulls back in the day besides me? Anybody like the Chicago Bulls? That's how they'd start off. Y'all remember that? Y'all ready for this? And then those lights would start flashing everywhere. And then that, you know, that one song, I can't do it. If I could, I would. Y'all remember that? Y'all ready for this? I don't want to hurt your feelings, but it's not near as exciting as what you think it might be. The first step to bringing yourself into the readiness to receive what the man of God has. You ready? Repent. Repentance. Because if you think you only needed to repent that one time, honey, you're sadly mistaken. I would argue that repentance is a child of God's best friend. My little children, I write these things to you that you sin not. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The first thing you have to do is you got to repent. Say, well, what about that? I say I'm sorry all the time. Baby, repentance is way, way past just being sorry. It is ultimately putting yourself in a place of surrender where the Lord can reach down from heaven and get a hold of your mind and move you in whichever way he wants you to go to do whatever it is he needs you to do. It is ultimately what the Lord spoke to Jeremiah in 18 when he said, get up and go down to the potter's house. Watch him work and hear my words. He said, I went to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work, but it wasn't right. And he made it new and seemed good to the potter. So as much as in me is, I'm ready. I bless you.
Oh, let's thank God for the word this morning. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the word of Calvary today. We thank you, Lord, for a fresh word. We thank you, Lord, for God speaking through your man today and putting something in our spirits that will revive us, renew us, and refresh us. We thank you, Lord, for this precious word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to, amen, take a few moments here for a break. I encourage you to go get your kids from the upstairs campus. The second crew coming on is not as nice as the crew they're with now, so it's a good idea. If you go pick them up, I'm just teasing. Amen.